You may be seated. Thank you, Marianne Mecki. We will never forget that version. You can sit down now. No? It's your fault. Well, good news and bad news. What do you want to hear first? My other sermon that I had talked about unity. Maybe we'll get there on this one too. And being together. Those words are found in Esther, you know. Unity and standing together, gathering together. I guess I'll just have to tell you then. Good news and bad news. The good news is that once again, Rachel Peterson was able to spend some time with us from China. A couple of times, she's been able to impart a lot of things. What she's doing, her link to our congregation. She actually listens to my messages and teachings in China, believe it or not. And she's a part of us. And that link has been strengthened. It's been a blessing to get to know her. But she's leaving this week to go home. And she misses it. Come on up here. We're going to pray for you. She was here for a surgery, and she's walking now without crutches. A little limp. Let's go in front of her. All right. Some of us are hoping to see you in China, actually. So be it. So get ready, okay? Is China ready for us? I don't know. But we have, there's a definite link. Okay, that's what I want to hear. Good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you for Rachel Peterson and the faithfulness to the calling upon her life and the location to where she's been called and her ability to speak into people's lives. They're from all over the world. And Lord, she's feeding here at that distance. And she's receiving our teachings and imparting them to others. I pray for a total and complete healing in this knee, that she'll have full mobility soon, no pain, but that she would continue to have open doors of ministry in China. And I thank you that in her heart she loves the place, she loves the people, and that's really where home is. And you've called her to be there, to be a light that shines, to be an ambassador of the Messiah. And I thank you that she's able now to impart a messianic vision as well. And I pray, Lord, that you would lead her to the Jewish people in China, that the link would strengthen and continue, and that miracles would be taking place in the near future. You know where your people are. You know our hearts to link together and to bring them home. I pray, the Lord, that you would inspire her, that your Holy Spirit would fill her, that you would give her new and phenomenal ideas on how to reach people where she lives. Thank you for the time we've been able to share with her. And we're looking forward to seeing her again soon in the place of your destiny. Wherever that is, we want to be in the right place at the right time. Bless her, I pray, in Yeshua's name. Amen. We love you.
Thanks.
Glad to see you. Well, Esther, a lot to be said in this little book. And it just simply amazes me. Pardon me. When you read what other people have said in time past, a lot of people that haven't had the same link that we do really see it and get it and have been preaching it. So I'm just praying that continues. I want to read you a quote from a scholar from Australia that lived some time ago, but he got it. Okay, he got it. Now, his quote is like this. Y'all know, we went through this last week about some of the uniquenesses to the book of Esther. God's name is just not in the book. So there's been debate all over the years, should this be in the Bible or not? It's been a hotly debated subject, but that was the only reason. Everybody loves Esther and the story, but God's name isn't there. And where was the miracle? At Hanukkah, we talk about, where was the miracle? Well, here's how he sees it. There was a crisis. Oh, and you know what? There's another one. There's one right now. Coming from the same place. The king of Persia is rising again, and he hates Jews. We'll talk about him. This is from J. Sidlow Baxter. He says, in the crisis of the Book of Esther, no miraculous intervention is resorted to. All the happenings recorded are the outworkings of circumstances in their natural sequence. Yet, while there is no miracle recorded, the whole thing, in its ultimate meaning, is a mighty miracle. The mighty miracle whereby a sovereign God so manipulates all non-miraculous events. This is so cool, because this is how God works all the time. All non-miraculous events as to bring about a predetermined outcome. And this miracle is all the more miraculous just because it achieves the predetermined outcome without the need of using a miracle. Did you get that? One way God works is to use people to alter circumstances, and that's a miracle. I like that, because he uses us. If we're looking for those great big miracles, if you take the miracles of Yeshua, there weren't that many. If you take the miracles of Elijah and all through history, there weren't that many. But the miraculous events day by day of God putting his hand upon you and saying, go here now, meet this person today, and so on, that's the miracle of walking with him, because he directs our lives, and that's a miracle. And the fact that he can use any of us to do anything is a miracle. I can't help but think that when we meet guys like Peter and James and John and Andrew and famous people that we read about all through history, that one of our reactions might be, well, what's so great about you? And the answer is, nothing is so great about us. God just used us. And he's been using people like you and me, who are nobodies. I mean, in the Book of Esther, Mordecai was a nobody. Esther was a nobody. We talk about them a lot now, don't we? Why? Because God's hand was upon them, orchestrating where they would be at a certain point in time, and Esther's destiny unfolded and became a reality, from an orphan to a queen. And she writes in the last chapter with great authority, the authority of the queen. We last week called this providence. The providence of God is at work every day in our lives, every day. I hope you pray in the morning when you get up. Lord, direct my every step today, my every step. I want divine appointments. I want divine appointments at the stop sign. That there's a guy who's going to run that red light, Kathy, okay, that I stay a little longer and he goes through, okay? Or in the case where he might hit me, may you protect me. The point being is that every moment of every day, we need to put in his hand. And you have more divine appointments than you can ever imagine. More. Providence. That means, as you recall, to provide for. To provide for. Well, Purim. Hanukkah. How about Yom HaTzmaut? These, you know, happy times. They're festive celebrations that recall miraculous events. Deliverances of Israel from annihilation. All of Yom HaTzmaut? Well, yeah, because if it wasn't for the Holocaust, which we remember that the week before, there wouldn't be a state of Israel today. That link is in those two. The worst day of the year and the most upbeat day of the year are together, because one produced the other out of a need. And we look back at these things. In each instance, evil people, figures have emerged. Haman, Antiochus, Hitler, to annihilate Jews. They've had that same thing in common all through the years, and there's more to come. With the intention of destroying God's chosen people. And to bring about, his chosen people are called to bring about his ultimate purpose, his redemptive purpose for all of mankind. Satan wants to disrupt that. The book of Daniel records something very important for us to remember. But behind the scenes, he's in Persia. Okay, behind the scenes, there was the evil, powerful, demonic force called the Prince of Persia. Such a powerful demon that Michael the Archangel had to come and fight against him, who is the protector of Israel. And that was this war going on. It's behind the scenes. You couldn't see it, but it was revealed to Daniel. And part of it was hindrances to prayer as well. That's still happening today. The Prince of Persia is alive and well. And it's the evil is emerging again. Different name, same story. All right? We remember these great deliverances. We must also be mindful that God's people are in peril once again. today. Today, another Persian king. Persia is Iran of today. I can't, anybody who can pronounce this can get all the hamantash they can eat today, okay? Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Well, I can't, okay. I admit I can't do it. Okay, Bob Black is about the best I can do. God knew what I need to be named, okay? Okay, he's openly declared that Israel must be wiped off the map. He's openly declared that. He's not making this a little hidden agenda. It's out front. News this week. You ever watch the little bottom thing on the news? The little things that come across? It goes this way, okay, go that way. It says this. From sources like Russia, China, okay, both have said, they warn that Iran will have nuclear weapons capability within weeks to months. Russia, their version of the chairman of their joint chiefs, head of their military, announced this week, that Iranian missiles now can hit any target in Europe, and he's nervous about Moscow, okay? They can hit Moscow. And Israel, by the way, okay, and Israel. Today, Persia, Iran, Iran is the biggest threat to world peace. Okay, these two superpowers are saying that. The question I have is this for us today. As we see this emerging with massive destructive power, okay, not that long ago, there was another person that emerged, Muammar Gaddafi in Libya. He's still there, by the way. He's kind of changed his tune a bit, though. And there's a reason why. But he, through the French, had been financed to build a nuclear reactor. And it was in the final stages. And then he announces to the world that as soon as they get that going, they're going to build a nuclear bomb and drop it on Haifa. He names the city, Haifa. Doesn't matter, there's a whole bunch of Arabs that live there, does it? But, well, see, and Israel says, we take you serious. We don't think you're bluffing. So they sent six F-16s. This story's great, okay? And you can read about it and see on the map how they flew and where they went. They flew like 50 feet off the ground, okay, across Saudi Arabia. The Saudis knew they were coming, but they said, you know what, just leave those guys alone, okay? And so the movie's from this. The lead F-16, each of them had one bomb. The lead F-16, and I've seen the movie, he drops his bomb. You know where it lands? It goes through the front door of the reactor. Precision beyond imagination. And that one bomb blew the whole thing up. The first bomb went right in, blew it up. Well, they were all mad, and they wouldn't even say the word Israel. They called it the Zionist entity. That's what they called Israel, and so on and so forth. Israel said, well, you know what? We took you serious. You're not going to do that to us, nor is anybody else. And the world then was saying something like, well, do you have the feeling, the attitude of like David and Goliath? And you'll like stand up to the big Goliath and take him down? And they said, not exactly. It's more like the Samson syndrome. If we're going down, we're taking you with us. Ooh, okay. That's kind of where we are today, because if Israel acts first, we're talking weeks to months, what's going to be the attitude of the world? Condemning Israel. What will our new government do? Guess what? We already know that. And it'll be a condemnation against Israel for doing what anybody with any intelligence would do. When this guy announces his intent, it's emerging as we speak. But we know the outcome. It's the same outcome every time. God will save his people. Haman's going to get hung on the gallows. That's going to backfire. Who knows how it's going to work? But Israel will be in trouble for it, okay? Anyway, that's coming. And that's what the news is. But Marianne Mackey, but God, okay, is also at work behind the scenes, isn't he? Not so much behind the scenes. With his people, just like in the book of Esther. And these things are coming out in the open as well. His hand is orchestrating all of these end times events. And his ultimate plan and purpose for all of mankind will be accomplished through Messianic Jews as a light to the nations. It's going to happen. He has declared it so. God's declaration remains true. It kind of goes like this. I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse those that curse you. When will history learn that lesson? at this holiday, that's what we celebrate. That's what we celebrate, okay? I pray that we will align our hearts with his heart in these end times and take a stand of righteousness, whatever the cost, standing with his chosen people, whatever the cost, and with Israel, his chosen land, whatever the cost, against all odds, political correctness, popularity, and the UN itself, and stand for what's right, to pray for and to take action to stand with his people in their time of need, because it's right around the corner. It's right around the corner. Esther, the woman of destiny, focused on a higher calling. Being the queen wasn't the highest calling. Saving her people was the highest of callings. And in disregard to the safety of the moment, she made a choice, and so must we. Okay, we make the choice to identify with, to stand with, and to do what's right. And if we perish, we perish, because we need to do what's right. But you know what? Look at the stories. Okay, I don't think we're going to perish. That was the reversal. When she took the right stand, identified with God's chosen people, at the risk of her own life, what happened? She found favor with the king, with everybody else. It was the reverse of what could have happened. I believe that'll happen with all of us, that we will find favor when we do the right thing. Not only was she saved, and the entire nation saved, but as Marianne Mackey pointed out, future generations were saved from this event. And the result of all this was there was great joy. Keep in mind that that verse about all the joy was before their deliverance. They were happy because they knew it was going to come, not because it was accomplished. It was by faith. It was by faith. The book of Esther ends with her writing with great authority, the authority of the queen herself. It's better than the ambassador, okay? It's the queen of the empire. And Mordecai became second in command of an empire, the Jewish guy, second in command, a nobody to second in command of the empire, only after the king and queen. It's a real rags-to-riches story, isn't it? It's a real rags-to-riches story. It's a hand of God story. This illustrates once again that God's hand is on his people, and it's forever, and he's not going to let go. And he orchestrates circumstances and situations, but it's not just in the greater scheme of things. It's in your personal life as well, that every day when we give all of we are to him, he says, go here now. Don't go here today. And when you multiply all this, it comes together to being a part of the community that God is, in fact, in control. He is in control. Now, I want to end with reading you a verse that future Hamans need to read. Turn to the book of Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. Verse 8 and following. A lesson for future Hamans. Zechariah 2, verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you. And he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. For surely I will shake my hand against them. They shall become spoil for their servants. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. For behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people. Look at that, the olive tree connection. Look at that, right there. And I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. And the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance. By the way, Judah today is what's commonly called the West Bank. All right? Isn't that a miracle that there's no East Bank of the Jordan River, just the West Bank? How about that? And the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land. It's called the Holy Land right there. And will again choose Jerusalem, including the Temple Mount, all of the remaining 46 acres, and he shall reign. He shall reign. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, we lift up your people to you. And the threat is getting stronger and stronger. These arrogant, evil people are shouting louder and louder, as people in time past have, to annihilate your people. What amazes me is that many agree with them. What I pray is they go further and further out on the limb, that suddenly that limb will be cut off. And the world would know that you are a God that keeps your word to your people. Your people will be safe, and the enemy will be hung on its own gallows. I pray we would take a stand of righteousness, and literally no matter what the cost, being unpopular, or even worse, a loss of jobs, because we stand for the truth and what's right. But I pray that we would have the heart of Queen Esther. And literally, if we perish, we perish, but we're going to do the right thing and stand on your word with your people and against the attacks of the enemy. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panav alecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha v'yisem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. And may you bring peace, shalom, to the Holy Land and the Holy City of Jerusalem. And I pray during this week of celebrating over there, they would be mindful and remember that you can be trusted to keep your word about your people. In Yeshua's name. Amen.